The ninth chapter of the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms, these are the writings of David. David, who loved God with all of his heart, he said, "My heart, my soul panteth after thee, O Lord, as the hart doth the water brook." That's really hungering and thirsting after God, isn't it? The Bible teaches to thirst after God. David said, "I'm so thirsty," said, "my soul painteth after thee, O Lord, like the hart does the water brook." You know, a young deer, whatever, that runs out in the sun and gets so famished that he can't hardly stand it. He just can't hardly wait, you know. He's so thirsty. He can't hardly wait until he gets to the water brook. David said, "That's just how thirsty I am for God. So thirsty that I can't hardly wait till I get to the water brook." So, David, a great man of God, he wrote many of these writings that we call the book of Psalms. A lot of times David's heart was broken on the occasion where he was driven off of the throne. His heart was broken. His family was ravished. He was left all by himself. And many, many prayers, maybe hundreds of prayers, David prayed, pleading with God and confessing his wrongs. You hear him saying such things as, "Lord, my wounds stink because of my foolishness. God afflicts." How many of you know that God afflicts? You know, a lot of people don't believe God afflicts, but God afflicts. But God also binds up. God pours in the oil and the wine, and God also binds up. And God does afflict, whether you believe it or not, he does. He deceives. I said, "I deceive me, O God." God afflicts. God leads into temptation. But God does it righteously and holy. It's a holy. God hates. David said, "I hate evil with a perfect hatred." But it's a righteous hatred. All right. The Lord loves us. He wants to lead us. David prayed many prayers to God, asking the Lord to help him. He said, "My wounds stink because of my foolishness." And he said, the Lord had afflicted him. The Lord afflicts, but he pours in the oil and the wine, and he'll bind it up. One thing we have to remember is that God doth not afflict willingly. That's the part of life. He does afflict, but the Bible said he doth not afflict willingly. See, he hath no pleasure in the death of the wicked. God hath no pleasure in the death of the wicked. He doth not afflict willingly, but he doth afflict. All right. Let's back up to the 8th chapter here and read a little out of it just before we... These are real short chapters. Let's back up and read a little bit there and then go over into the 9th chapter. It said, Our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. Now, can I take a moment here to point out something to you? You notice here in David's prayers, he says, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast ordained strength. Have you noticed that as I read it? In the New Testament, when Jesus speaks of it, you know how it is quoted? Out of the mouth of babes thou hast perfected praise. Isn't that right? That's why that you hear me so often say that these people who memorize the Bible and who's full of quotes is foolishness. They memorize line by line. Even Jesus didn't do that. Years ago, when I started to do that, God stopped me and said, "That isn't what I want." Said, "I didn't do that myself." And you find out that even Jesus didn't do it. When he quoted the book of Psalms, he quotes it back, "Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast ordained strength." Jesus quotes it back, said, "Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise." You understand what I'm saying? If you search it out, it means identically the same thing. Identically. You say, that's not where he quoted from. Yes, it is. It's where he quoted from right here, where I'm reading. All right, so then what God wants us to do is understand the word. said, these hear the word, but they don't understand the word. And they go their way and they are barren because they don't understand. They can quote it. The devil can quote it, but he don't understand it. The devil's desire to look into what we're doing because the Bible said they don't understand it. That thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. What is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beast of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. You notice here he says that he put man over all the beast. Man being a type of the Son of God, it was typical that the Son of God would rule over all mankind because mankind is beast. I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou Most High. When mine enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish at thy presence. For thou hast maintained my right and my cause. Thou sattest in the throne judging right. Thou hast rebuked the heathen. Thou hast destroyed the wicked. Thou hast put out their name forever and ever. O thou enemy, destructions are come to a perpetual end. And thou hast destroyed cities, their memorial is perished with them. But the Lord shall endure forever. He hath prepared his throne for judgment. And he shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in time of trouble. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, hath not forsaken them that seek thee. Sing praises to the Lord which dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the people his doings when he maketh inquisition for blood. He remembereth them. He forgetteth not the cry of the humble. Have mercy upon me, O Lord. Consider my trouble which I suffer of them that hate me. Thou that lifteth me up from the gates of death, that I may show forth all thy praise in the gates of the daughter of Zion. I will rejoice in thy salvation. The heathen are sunk down in the pit that they made. In the net which they hid is their own foot taken. The Lord is known by the judgment which he executeth. The wicked is snared in the works of his own hand, Higgaim, Salam. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God, for the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. Arise, O Lord, let not man prevail. Let the heathen be judged in thy sight. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men. Salam. You know, in the 17th verse, it tells us here that all nations that forget God shall be turned into hell. I spoke a little bit on it a few days ago, elaborated just a little bit concerning all nations forgetting God. The Bible teaches that all nations, they will forget God. And they will be turned into hell if they forget God. But just before God turns them into hell, in that they have forgotten God, the Bible teaches that all of a sudden the nations of the world will say one to another, we have forgotten our God. Let's remember our God, and let's go up to the mountain of our God that he may teach us of his ways. And thus God will spare many of the nations. And many of the nations will pass on through the tribulation and come out over into the millennium, because they will remember their God and they will go up to hear the word of the Lord. You love Jesus? You really love Jesus? All right, if you do, you'll pay attention. All right, so then, when we go up, when in that day all nations together, I say we, go up to the house of God to give praise, the Bible said in that day the house of the Lord shall be established. There's coming a day when God is going to establish the house of God. Now you might say, Brother Pike, the house of God is established now, but the house of God is not established as of yet. But the house of God will be established in that day, and it will be so beautiful that people won't sit on the bench and do everything but pay attention. You understand what I'm saying? The Bible said it will be so beautiful that all nations shall flow to the house of God. They won't flow to the movies to see a lot of fiction and a lot of stuff that somebody out yonder that's painted his face up like an Indian has recorded on film. They won't do that. They won't sit on the bench and surmise against the preacher because they don't like what he said. But the Bible said that they will flow to the house of God. All nations shall flow to the house of God. The house of God shall be established, and it shall be exceedingly beautiful, and all nations shall flow and go up to the house of God. And you know what they will do? They won't go up to the house of God just to say, I've been in church on Sunday. But the Bible said they will turn one to another and say, let us go up to the house of God that he may teach us of his ways. See, his ways is lovely. We don't pay much attention to them now because the world is sparkling. And we look at the world and we say, well, we want the world. But see, you forget that the world and the fullness thereof belongs to God. And those that go after the world without Christ will not get the world. Did you know that? Those that go after the world without Christ will not get the world. The world belongs to the children of God. How do you understand that? The Bible said God made the earth and made the world that it might be inhabited. And God is going to see that it's inhabited. But someday he'll sit and judge the world in righteousness, do away with the wicked, and then take the people that love God and put them in the world. Sending children to school to get education won't cause them to inherit the world. They might get out there and inherit the system of the world, and they may get entangled in the things of Satan in the system of the world, which is to perish, but they will not inherit the world. The Bible said the meek shall inherit the earth. Those that follow God and those that love God will inherit the trees and that beautiful ocean that washes in along the shores of Florida and California and different places. In the islands, that beautiful ocean that we love so much in its beauty and in its splendor. We love to just get out there in the water. The children of God own that. It belongs to them. They've inherited it. All things are yours, Jesus said. Everything belongs to the children of God. And those that are out there half nude are intruders and squatters. And someday God will drive them out with the system. He'll drive the system out and he'll drive them out. All the educational systems of the world, the great facilities of life that are taken over by Satan and by the carnal mind. Someday God will do away with all of that system, all of those people. And then we'll triumph and stand, and the government will be upon our shoulder. The house of the Lord shall be established. Isn't that right? That's what I'm looking for. Why do we have so much problem? It's because the house of the Lord is not established. See, if I establish Washington, that's good. I mean, we can work together as a people and we can establish a Congress. We can establish a government. That's good for the present hour. But I want you to know that that is not satisfying to God. God doesn't want Jimmy Carter up there. That's not his pleasure. Right now it's his pleasure to have him there. But that's not the one that he wants up there. God wants a Holy Ghost-filled leader that will lead his people to the fountain of living waters. Not one, but many of them. The Bible speaks of sons of God. God wants many of them. Sons of God and the government to rest upon their shoulder. He wants them as counselors.
He wants them as great men. He wants great women of God. Paul spoke in his day of great women of God. There's great people that are to inherit this earth and to set up a government that will never perish. I like the terms that the prophets use concerning Jesus. All of the governments come, and the Bible speaks of the governments that come. And finally, the prophet looks way down through the telescope of time and gets a telescopic view of things, and he says, I see another government coming. Said it's a little stone hewed out of the mountain that'll come rolling down through Babylon, tearing down the kingdom of the world. He said, and this government grew until it filled all of the world. And he said, to his government there shall be no end. No end. That's the kind of government we need. We don't need to change presidents and kings and leaders every day. We need a government without an end, and we need a leader that doesn't have any end. Isn't that right? Now, the government of this day has a termination. The leaders of the government of this day have a termination. The followers and subjects of this government of this day have a termination. Isn't that right? They die. But there's going to be a leader that will never die. There's going to be some subjects that will never die. Hallelujah. They're going to have an eternal leader, because they're never going to die. And their leader's never going to die. They are eternal. And they're going to have an eternal government. And that's what I'm looking forward to. Hallelujah. And so the house of the Lord shall be established. And that day God shall establish the house of the Lord, and it shall be a beautiful thing. How beautiful the house of God shall be. It, everything in the world won't sparkle. The house of the Lord will sparkle. The radiance of the Lord shall sparkle. The train of God shall fill the temple. And even though the world will be lovely, and God will have all of the world like a garden, it'll be a beautiful garden just to see the animals roaming around, and the beauty of the vegetation of flowers and trees and everything that's ever become extinct, God will restore it. But with all of the beauty and all of the radiance of the Garden of Eden, there will be something that so far surpasses that until we won't pay a lot of attention to that. Our hearts and minds will be toward the house of the Lord. You know, my heart is already toward the house of the Lord. I've already seen it. That's the reason I make a fuss over it. I've already seen it. I've already come into that place, and I've already seen the beauty of the house of the Lord, and nothing out there fascinates me anymore, because I've seen the beauty of the house of the Lord. If you ever see the beauty of Christ in the house of the Lord, you'll never be fascinated with anything out there anymore, because there's no comparison with God and the house of the Lord and the things that are out there in the world. So then, in that day, the house of the Lord shall be established. I love to talk about the house of the Lord. Now, I know you say, well, Brother Pike, you mean the house of the Lord? Is this the house of the Lord? They said, let us go up to the house of the Lord. Now, is this the house of the Lord? This is the house of the Lord. As far as the natural house, this is the house of the Lord. It's a natural house of the Lord. But see, Peter said, when this tabernacle is dissolved, I have another one eternal in the heaven. For in my Father's house, there are many mansions. Hallelujah. There's a mansion that's called the house of God. And it's in my Father's house. Hallelujah. And it's a spiritual mansion. It's a spiritual place. And there is a radiance about it, to where the Bible said that this house outshines the brightness of the noonday sun. So then, this is my Father's house. My Father's house. What a beautiful thing to know that we are lifeless stones, and that Paul, who made the statement that he was the wise master builder, he has left us a plan and a blueprint and pointed us to the foundation of the apostolic church in the teaching, saying that Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. Isn't that wonderful? To know that we can follow the blueprints and follow those things that God has left for us and be built up into a royal priesthood, a house of God. For we are the house of God. And God, who is a spirit, inhabits this temple. He lives and dwells in this temple. All right. So then, it's wonderful when you think about the house of God. The house of God should be a clean place, a holy place, a righteous place. The Bible said someday God will judge the earth in righteousness. Now that's the way it's supposed to be judged. Solomon said, I've looked, and in the places of judgment I've seen corruption. Now you go up here to the local authorities, and you try to have dealings with them, and you'll find out that many of them are corrupt. Now, you do that in Atlanta or any other place, and you'll find out there's a lot of corruption. In the places of judgment, Solomon said, I've seen that they have corruption. But when Jesus sets to judge, there won't be any corruption. For the Bible teaches the government is upon the sons of God's shoulder, and that he will judge the world through righteousness. Is that right? He will judge it through you and I, but he will judge it through righteousness. That's how he judges it through righteousness. It's through you and I. The Bible said the righteousness of the saints, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, the members in particular, he judges the world through the body, through the temple, through the house of God. Is that right? Through the temple, the body, Jesus Christ's body, the house of God, he judges the world through that. And that body is the only body that is righteous. Then you say, well, Brother Pike, how does the church today stand in the sight of God? The church today stands without spot. It stands without wrinkle. It stands without blemish. There is no spot. There is no wrinkle. There is no blemish on the temple of God. If you are a temple of God this morning, you don't have one spot, one wrinkle, not one blemish. You are pure and holy and righteous. I know a lot of people say someday we're going to be without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. But I want to tell you something. If the blood of Jesus Christ was not sufficient when it was spilled at Calvary to take away your spots and wrinkles and blemishes, you will never get rid of them by something you're trying to do. Did you know that? So then what does God want us to do? He wants us to believe. Paul said, we wish this even the perfecting of your faith. We are here to perfect your faith. What kind of faith? The faith that was once delivered to the saints. What is it for? We are to perfect your faith in the Word of God, which is Jesus Christ that spilt his blood at Calvary, that we might be without spot and without wrinkle and without blemish. Hallelujah. He is coming back after a church that doesn't have a spot on it. If you're going to be the bride of Christ, you can't have one spot. Now, we got some good women in this world, but the best woman that we've got when it comes to being loyal to her husband and loving her husband, she has thoughts she ought not to have, and she's full of spots and blemishes, the very best of them. But I want you to know that this bride of Jesus Christ, it doesn't have a spot and it doesn't have a blemish. It doesn't have a wrinkle. And when God comes back and she stands as the elect lady, she's going to be so beautiful and radiant that all of the world is going to look and stand in awe because they can't point a finger at her. The Bible said, who can lay anything to the charge of God's people, God's elect? Who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. It is the Lord God of heaven that spilled his blood that I might be holy. And he said, when the minister speaks, it's not him that's speaking, but Christ within him. So then, what are we? We are the royal priesthood. Hallelujah. We are the sons of God. Now, beloved, are you the sons of God? We are the sons of God. That might not do nothing to you, but it does something to me. When I talk about being a son of God, it does something to me. It stirs me, hallelujah. There's something that gets a hold of me and makes me feel like just sailing away. Hallelujah. You talk about sons of God. I see some of you a lot of times, you know, and we talk about that sonship and there's no stimulation, there's no connection, there's no feeling. I know right away that you're not a son of God. I know that you're not a son of God. Somebody said, bless God, I'm just as much a son of God as you are. No, you're not a son of God. Let me tell you, when you talk about a son of God, I'm not talking about somebody just got out of seminary. Not talking about somebody with a PhD or somebody that's got $1 million or $2 million in the bank, some great authority, some great rich man, some great philosopher. I'm talking about a God, a son of God, something that lives on forever hallelujah, that cannot die, that's strong and mighty and rich and powerful. A son of God. Well, I feel better all the time. Glory to God. David said, I encourage myself in the Lord. This might not encourage you, but I'm encouraging myself. Hallelujah. So then, I believe old brother David, a lot of times when he had a battle to fight, he'd get to thinking about the odds, and I'm sure that David got discouraged. You know, he's a human being just like you are. And the Psalms here indicate that sometimes he would get discouraged. But I believe that at times when David would get discouraged, that he just settled down somewhere and he prayed. And as he began to pray, the Spirit of God would come present. And God would speak to him and God would say, David, son, don't be afraid. He said, but I'm just a man. And look at the hundreds and thousands out there in opposition. But I can hear God saying, David, son, when I'm present with you, you're more than a man. You believe it? Hallelujah. I believe old David, when he began to realize that he was more than a conqueror, it was like when he faced Goliath, I believe that something come over him. And I believe that he thought, Lord, you're with me. Think about that, folks. You go out here and you feel defeated. You can't make your business go. You can't make your job go. You can't overcome a little something that keeps hammering away at your mind. You meet a little opposition in the courts. You meet a little opposition somewhere out here, and it makes you feel like you're cast down. It becomes a great opposition. But encourage yourself in Christ. Hallelujah. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Talk to yourself. Tell yourself about the Word of God and say, my God shall supply all of my needs according to His riches and glory. Hallelujah. I've faced the judges and I've faced the captains and I've faced the generals and I've faced the bankers and I've faced the law, I've faced the sheriffs, I've faced the point of a gun, I've faced all of it. But I'd encourage myself in Christ. And I'd say, Lord, you said it. I believe it and it's true. Hallelujah. All of His promises are yea and amen. Hallelujah. You're not just a brute beast. You are sons of God. See, you're not a brute beast. I'm not talking about a man. I'm not talking about the banker. I'm talking about a God, something that can't die. A son of the living God. Let's awake from our slumber. The Bible said, sin no more. Awake to what, Brother Pine? The Bible said, awake to righteousness. You see what I'm saying? Awake, thou that sleepeth. Christ will give thee light. Awake to what? Awake to righteousness. For God has got something righteous for you. For He shall judge the world in righteousness, that He might establish the house of God, whose temple ye are. Ye are the temples of the Holy Ghost. How many believe you're temples of the Holy Ghost? See, and the temple of God is without spot and without blemish. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. And that man that's in perversion, he said, I will destroy him with the brightness of my coming. Hallelujah. In that day, there's going to be a great thing that happened. The house of God is going to be established. There'll be no more praise to the kings. There'll be no more praise to the presidents, but the praise will go to God. Jesus shall sit upon His throne, that lovely, tender Jesus, that Jesus that is so sweet and tender and kind, that will hold out those nail-scarred hands, and when you walk up and you see the cruel scars, I believe He'll have those scars, when you see those cruel scars, you think, my God, you did that for me. I'm standing here today in the presence of Christ. I'm living Him alive forevermore because you did it for me, Christ. You stand there and you see those hands. Oh my, what a day that shall be when my Savior I shall see when I look upon His face. The one who saved me by His grace. Hallelujah. Love and compassion. Compassion. Who can deny that He's loving? Who can deny that He's compassionate? When He stands and He looks at the multitudes and He says, depart from me that work iniquity, I never knew you. Who can deny that there will be in compassion? For He hath no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Who can deny that He hath made a way and they've denied the way? When He told him, He said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No man can come to the Father but by me. That's what he told them. And in that day when they stand there, they don't have to go into hell. You don't have to perish. The Bible said it's not God's will, Brother Gonzalez, that any should perish. Nobody. The Spanish people, it's not God's will for them to perish. The people of Rome, it's not God's will for them to perish. The people of Russia, it's not God's will for them to perish. God loves Russia. God loves Germany. God loves America. It's not God's will for them to perish. But all nations that forget God shall be turned into hell. Amen? So then it's not God's will for them to perish. It's not God's will for us to get bitter over here in the United States and say them old Russians over there. That's not God's will. There's Russians over there that love God with all of their heart. There's people in Russia that's holy and pure and just and righteous. And it's not them that's waging war against us. It's the system of this world. It's evil leaders and rulers. The Bible said, do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the mercy seat and blaspheme that worthy name by which you're called. It's not God's will for the Spanish to be upset at the people over here in the United States and the people of the United States being upset with the people over in South America. It's not God's will for the people of Africa to hate the people of the United States and of France and the people of France and the United States to hate the people of Africa. God loves us. We're God's people. Can you deny that Christ died for the black man as well as the white man? Can you deny that God died for the Russian as well as the German? Come on now. You ever pray for the Pope and ask God to save him? Somebody said, that old beast, he's a human being. How do you know but what he might get converted? He could turn around and expose the whole thing. Come on, folks. Did you ever pray for Elvis Presley? Somebody said, that rock and roll devil, I prayed for him many times. He may be in hell, but I prayed for him. I hated his evil ways, still do, but I prayed for him. You say, but God didn't tell you to do that, but the Bible tells me to do that. See, the Bible said, offer prayer for all men. Is that right? That takes in Elvis, that takes in the Pope, that takes in the movie stars, that takes in Jimmy Carter, that takes in all of them. Is that right? That I say that we should offer prayer for all men, for the kings and rulers. Did you know that you might pray tonight, and Jimmy Carter might make the right decision tomorrow? Oh, somebody said, you don't believe that, Brother Pike. Yes, I do. See, he might have a serious decision that he cannot make, and because the man is not far enough along with God to get in touch with God to where God can do it for his cause. Yet, if somebody prays that's in touch with God, God will do it for their cause. Isn't that right? And you pray and you say, Lord, do something for Jimmy Carter. Help Jimmy Carter. Help him to make the right decision. Help him. Lord, because our destiny and our future, it depends upon it. Paul said, pray for them that are in authority. Pray for the kings. Pray for the leaders. See, they're human beings just like you. They've got to act on their thoughts just like you do. Pray for them. Pray for the teachers that are in school and the principals and the board of education. Pray for them people. If we'd have prayed for them more, they wouldn't have as much corruption among them now. Pray for them. Pray for the bankers. Pray for the policemen. Pray for the merchants. Pray God get the rotten out and put the good in. Pray for them. Have you pray for them? Hallelujah. It's a privilege to me to pray. I love to pray. I love to get on my knees and say, Jesus, hear me, Jesus. Hallelujah. And you feel something come down from heaven, Brother Fontaine. Come down all over. You feel like the latter rain fell on you. And something says, I hear you. And then you swell up on the inside. I say, glory to God, I could run through a troop and leap over a wall. Oh, Brother David, he just encouraged himself, you know. He'd get encouraged and he'd think about the odds out there. And reckless of the Spirit of God would come on him, and old David just... He'd grab that sword and plow just like he'd plowed a new field. Just go through there and couldn't stop him. The courage was so great. I imagine people would scream way off and say, my God, here comes David. Let's get out of the way. He's coming through you like a mowing machine. I believe it. How do you believe that? I believe it. He said, I've run through a troop. Not that I can run through a troop. David said, I've run through the troop. I pick up my sword, I run through the whole troop. Ah. Old Samson just picked up the jawbone of an ass And in a little while, there wasn't nobody else to fight. I kind of get tickled at that because my brother Junior, he's talking about the other day, and he got in a big way about Samson, you know. Junior said, well, that's the one thing about it. Said he might have been 9,000, and 999 of them had got killed. Said, but if I'd have been there, said, if been one of them had never got killed. I said, well, why is that, Junior? He said, man, when I saw 999 people dead, he said, I'd have took off. You say, well, what chance has one fellow got if he's done got 900 of them? All right, so that's good. That's the way to look at it. It's wonderful to know that God is with you. Now you say, why do you tell us all those things? I tell you those things because you are a man, just like Samson was a man. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, he had that super strength. According to the Bible, he didn't. I said, well, where do you get that? The Bible said when his hair was cut off, he was weak. Isn't that right? Like any other man? Is that right? Now somebody said, well, his strength was in his hair. Now don't be silly. If that's so, we all better grow some long hair. You never seen strength like that in his hair. That hair didn't have nothing to do with his strength, you know, as far as being in his hair. You say, well, what did it have to do with? It was an agreement between him and his parents and between him and God. See, it's a covenant. He had established a covenant between him and God. And see, it had to do with the promise. God gave a promise. That's where strength comes from. See, today we have strength, but it comes from the promise. Isn't that right? It don't come from our ritualistics and what we do. It comes from God. When that lion jumped out at Samson and began to roar, old Samson felt like that, you know, probably. Said, the covenant's still there. Come on. And he reached and got that lion, and the Bible said he ran him like a kid. Isn't that right? Oh, he said, it don't work like that. You just try it sometimes. Let the devil rise up against you and begin to roar and see if he won't grab it and say, is it still there? I do. Amen. Sometimes I have the devil rise up against me, you know, and he might catch me a little bit off guard. You wake up suddenly in the morning or in the middle of the night. David said, I'm not going to be afraid of sudden fear because my heart is established. You wake up in the middle of the night and something grabs you. You go nervous and weak all over. You reach and grab it. And then you feel his presence. You say, get out of here, devil. I've got the victory. You say, I've never done that. Well, I've done it. I've done it. Wake up in the middle of the night. All my strength will be gone. Something would happen to me. And all of a sudden, I'd say, Jesus. And I'd feel that presence of God coming out. I'd say, get out of here, devil. You can't do nothing. See, as long as you got that covenant between you and God, as long as you got that promise, the house of God is established. As long as you got your promise with God, as long as that hair was there, Samson knew that was a covenant between him and God because his mother and daddy had built his faith in God on the strength of that long hair. Is that right? They said, Samson, don't you ever cut that hair. Remember, you're a Nazarite from your birth and you got a vow on your head now. Don't ever cut it. Leave it just like it is, and if you don't cut it, everything will go well with you. And just as long as that hair was up there, he knew that covenant was between him and God, and his faith was in God, and when something would get in the front of him, he'd feel like he could run through a troop and leap over a wall. Why did it work that way for David? Tell me, folks. Why could David, a single man, run through a troop, fight until his hand would cleave to the sword, and he'd have to do it like that to get it loose? Why was that? It was the Spirit of God. Why was it when the Spirit of God came that Elijah could outrun the chariots of Jezebel? It was because the Spirit of God was upon him. You never seen nobody run a foot race like that. They talk about jumping hurdles and running tracks. Ah, lands of living. He outrun the horses of Jezebel. They talk about setting a record. They better go back and get the Bible. They ain't even accomplished enough to even equal the record yet, let alone set a record. Talking about strength when that man lifts up those big, you know, whatever it is, the weights. Talking about setting a record. Oh, my lands. They better go back and check the record. Oh, Samson done that plus. That's right. See, you're talking about great men. This is the record. That's why the devil don't like it. Did you know that? Jimmy, that's why the devil don't like this record. He'd do anything that he could to get rid of this record, and then he could establish his record of these great men that he's corrupted and turned to corruption. He could magnify them like Elvis Presley and draw the world after them. But I've got news for you. Elvis Presley would have looked like a monkey over in the corner dancing with a string when David played his harp. Amen. If while Elvis Presley was singing, if David had come along and played on his harp, he'd have looked like a monkey on a string. I'm talking about the real record. When the Spirit of God come upon David and David began to play on that harp, I've got a feeling the angels just said one to another, said, boy, you might as well rack it up till he gets through. That's right. That's just using some worldly terms, you know. Well, you'll understand it. But I believe when the Spirit of God come off on David, I believe Michael and Gabriel and the angel choir just sat back and say, boy, ain't that beautiful. If David ever does get up here, I'm going to get him to teach me to play like that. You love Jesus? I'm talking about God, sons of God, daughters of the Lord, hallelujah. Their talents and ability. Glory to God. Like Brother Thomas come the other day, he's got his tent set over in Gainesville. He said, boy, I got a hold of one of your tracks. And he said, I tell you, it's really got me. I said, what was it? He said, the unlimited God. The unlimited God. He said, we're always limiting God, and there he is, the unlimited. I'm going to let you go. Just hold on. Fan the sparks just a little bit. You love Jesus? Now listen. If you want to do something, you can do it. You can do it. But you've got to do it with the Spirit of God. It's not by power. It's not by might. But it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. The race is not to the swift. The battle is not to the strong. But it belongs to the Lord. If America wants to win the battle, let her pray a way through. Her atomic bombs, her weapons, all of that's not going to stop them from blowing America to pieces. Now you watch and see. But I'll tell you what, one person praying can change the entire situation. I've quoted it here a number of times, how that the Queen Mary, Bloody Mary, how that Queen made the statement. She said, I had rather fight all of the alien powers than to have John Knox pray one prayer. Said, I fear his prayers more than I do all of the alien powers. And that's something. She said, I don't mind fighting an army, but when that man says Jesus, I shake all over, so to speak. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Old John Knox sent a foot run over and say, Mary, you better behave yourself. I'm going to pray. Shake and sit down. Hallelujah. What the armies can do, John Knox did it. By praying to God. That's what we need to do. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. Ooh, I feel the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Glory to God. When that judge sat on the throne, he says, thus and thus, God said, no. Amen. Case dismissed. You love Jesus? Let's have faith in God. Will you stand with me? I love you this morning. You got something. You just don't know what you got. You got faith. Brother, if you'll put that faith to work, if you'll give it a chance and use it, nobody can stand before you. Nothing can stand before you. Everything will crumble as you come near it. The walls of Jericho fell to the ground. Saints of God, they couldn't get them walls down. But when the saints of God said, hallelujah, all heaven quivered and them walls just crumbled right on down. Crumbled to the ground. Somebody said, Joshua's here. Gideon's here. Samson's here. And according to the Bible, when they holler Samson was here, people shake like a leaf. One man, just one man. You say, well, they couldn't do that. Well, I just got through telling you that the Queen Mary did. When Elijah walked through town, somebody said, hey, Baldy's coming. The king get down on the ground and say, bring me some sackcloth and ashes. Bow the head, you know, and old Elijah would go by. Look up and say, is he gone? Yeah, he's gone. Okay, get back up on the throne. Come on, folks. I'm talking about God. When God speaks, something's got to give, Brother Gary. You're sons of God. Sons of God. Man, if they did that for people like Elijah, think what they ought to do for you. You're the sons of a living God. Just think about that. You go walking down the street. There's Jimmy Carter. There's a celebrity. And here you go walking down the street. Think about that. My land. Why, Jimmy, he'd have to go back in the back and hide. All of the Congress, all of them go in the house and pull the shades down. Somebody said, now, Brother Pike, don't you think you're exaggerating a little bit? I don't even believe I'm doing it justice. The Bible said just one son of God will outshine the brightness of the noonday sun. Just one son. If you pulled the veil off of one son of God, the sunshine would never shine again. The Son of Heaven could never, you say, what do you mean could never shine again? Well, how could it shine? You couldn't find it. The brightness of the Son of God is so bright you never would find the sun no more. Why, it wouldn't even be the equality of a lightning bug in the presence of that light. I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you the truth. Hallelujah. It makes you feel good, don't it, Jim? To know that it's real. You know, you read about Superman and Batman and all these other kind of things. That's something. You know, you get out of your heaven when you finish reading about Superman. But brother, I'm telling you something, it's real. You don't get out of this. This is real, genuine. I'm talking about reality. Hallelujah. Like I said about Samson, Superman wouldn't be nothing. Look like a shoe shine boy. All right, let's sing a little chorus together. You know, I can't help but get excited. I'm honest about it. I can't. I feel this thing, you know. I feel it, and it's real to me. It's so real to me. Brother Owens called from the Carolinas, and it must have been real to some of them because he said that it really stirred the people up and said that the tent just kept filling up night after night. So they said, well, we don't understand it, but we believe it. Let's sing a little chorus together. Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble. Oh, I feel it again, don't you? I feel it again. And while on others thou art. Hallelujah, I feel God. Oh, do not pass me by. Can you sing it with me? Oh, Savior, Savior.